may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Back in the 1970s and 80s, D. James Kennedy was famous for a television show for a long time, worship show there, helped to produce an evangelistic program which was called Evangelism Explosion. Many evangelical churches use this program to train their folks to engage others in evangelism, especially as a follow-up to people who had visited their church. There were a series of probing questions which were designed to expose the spiritual understanding of those being questioned. One of the questions was, if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? It is an interesting question which we should all consider. If you were standing outside of the pearly gates and received this question, what would you say? The parable of our Lord Jesus, which is appointed for this Sunday, touches on this issue. Jesus envisions two men who go to the temple to appear before God. It should be pointed out that the characters that Jesus chose to employ in the parable would have been a stark contrast for his original audience. It is almost certain that when he mentioned the Pharisee, that his audience would have been predisposed to have positive thoughts about him, kind of contrary to where we are in light of our understanding of the New Testament. But in those days, Pharisees were highly esteemed. They would have had the exact opposite feelings when he mentioned the second character, a publican, which was a tax collector. Judaism in the first century was comprised of various groups, such as the Sadducees and the Essenes, the Zealots, and the Pharisees. The Pharisees, out of all of these, were viewed as the most holy because they were all about following God's law to the nth degree. They even comprised their own set of laws to sort of function as a barrier around God's law. On the other hand, tax collectors were typically Jews who had sold out to the Roman occupiers in order to enrich themselves. They would collect taxes from their fellow countrymen for the Romans, and they were allowed, of course, to skim off some of the top for themselves. In short, the Jews viewed them as greedy traitors. They would have been outcasts from Jewish society, especially by being shunned at the worship of the synagogues and at the temple. Now, with this in mind, listen to what Jesus says about these two characters, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Both men went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. His approach to God was based on the perception of his own personal holiness. He reminds God that he is not like other men, those who extort money from others, those who commit adultery, and especially not like that tax collector over there who sold out his own people in order to enrich himself. Then he reminds God about all of the good things that he had been doing. He was so pious that he fasted twice a week. And he was also so serious about tithing that he made sure to include a tenth of everything that he possessed. We know from elsewhere in the New Testament, the Pharisees were so serious about tithing, they would even tithe from their herb gardens. The tax collector, in contrast, comes to the temple to worship, but in light of his own perceived sinfulness, he stood afar off. He would not even look up to heaven, but instead looked down. He beat upon his breast and simply prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus concludes the parable by saying, I tell you, this man, meaning the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In other words, of these two men, it was the tax collector that went home justified, that is, right with God. The implication, of course, is that the Pharisee was not justified. He was not right with God. This conclusion would have certainly shocked Jesus' audience. Now let us tweak the scene a little bit to fit into the situation that I mentioned at the beginning. If each of these men appeared at the pearly gates and God asked them, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" the response of the Pharisee was that he deserved heaven because of his personal holiness. The tax collector, on the other hand, acknowledged that he was not worthy of being allowed into heaven, and in repentance smote his breast and pleaded for God's mercy. Jesus tells us that it was his response that is the one God is looking for. Let us analyze a bit further what was amiss with the Pharisees' approach to God and what was pleasing with the publicans. Here is where the introduction and the conclusion to the parable are very helpful. St. Luke tells us at the beginning that Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And of course, that is an exact analysis of the Pharisee's prayer. He exalted his own accomplishments while looking down on the publican. Then Jesus adds at the conclusion that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee proudly exalted himself, while the tax collector humbly confessed his unworthiness and his need for God's mercy. The result was that the tax collector was justified or made right with God. As we think about our own response to God's question as to why he should admit us into his heaven, we need to use this parable as a paradigm. The first words out of our mouth should not be, "Well, at least I'm better than old so-and-so over there." We're prone to do that, aren't we? We measure ourselves against others. But God's standard is perfection, and not a single one of us has lived up to that perfect standard. That in itself should serve to humble us. Let us get this straight in our heads. We have not lived up to God's standard of righteousness, so we certainly better not tout our own accomplishments when we stand on that day. Furthermore, the Pharisee viewed his relationship with God in a transactional fashion. By listing out the things that he did religiously, fasting twice a week, tithing all that he had, he conveyed the idea that God owed him something for doing so. From his flawed perspective, he thought that by doing these things, God would be obligated to accept him. Now, it should be stated that religious practices such as fasting and tithing are not bad. In fact, these spiritual disciplines are commended to us by God. But our motivation in doing them is what makes the difference. Whenever we fast or tithe or pray or whatever, it should be done out of a sense of gratitude for what God has done for us. He certainly does not owe us anything, but we owe him everything. Whenever we perform some religious duty, whether it is tithing or attending worship or serving the poor, we need to remember that these things are done in response to what God has done for us. And even when we've done it all, we certainly have not matched what God has done for us. So when you stand before God and he asks you why he should let you into his heaven, what will be your response? If we follow what Jesus teaches us here, we should respond with humility like the publican. We should acknowledge that we are not worthy to enter heaven. We have fallen short of God's standard of perfection. But in the same breath, we should appeal to the grace and mercy of God. And we know that his property is always to have mercy toward repentant sinners. How do we know that God will be merciful? Because he sent his Son to bear our sins, to bring us new life, and to open the gates of heaven to us. Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross and said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Let us learn to approach God on these terms, in humility and repentance, trusting in his mercy displayed in the actions of his Son on our behalf. And if we will do this, then when our time comes to depart from this life, we can be assured that the gates of heaven will be opened for us. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."